I drove over to the Sonic Drive-In, ordered a jalapeno burger, a chicken fried steak sandwich, a chili cheese dog with extra onions, french fries, tater tots, washed it down with one beer, two beers, three beers, a shot of whiskey, a margarita, and a Bloody Mary. I got nervous. My skin broke out in hives. I'm itching inside. My liver's all twisted up. But you know what I did? I took Deborah, went to the liquor store. I loaded up with alcohol, more specifically vodka, whiskey, beer, tequila, more beer, more vodka, more whiskey, and more beer.
Hour two of Overtime is coming at you live on your Monday night. Tanner and Tucker with you for one more hour. We kick things off here in this second hour. Pretty big shakeup in SEC football right now. This is certainly something. And it could be very hurtful for a certain school down in Bammer. Very, very hurtful here. Kirby Smart today trying to pull one over on his old boss Nick Saban. Georgia football has now added a new special teams coordinator. Why are we reporting on that? Why is that a big story, you might ask? Special teams coordinator? Who cares? Well, it's who it was, though. Georgia, to be an on-field coach, special teams coordinator, they have hired away from Alabama Scott Cochran, the long-time strength and conditioning coach in Tuscaloosa. He's pretty much been there as long as Saban's been there. Like, the one consistent at that Alabama program has been Scott Cochran. And strength and conditioning. And yeah, he's going from Tuscaloosa to Athens now. It has been just officially made official less than an hour ago. Georgia football tweeting out, "Welcome to Athens, Coach Cochran." That's crazy. Yeah, he's been there since 07. So for the first time ever at Alabama, Nick Saban's going to have to find a new strength and conditioning coach. Apparently Scott Cochran's been wanting an on-the-field role with Alabama for quite some time. And it's already been reported that Nick Saban has said, well, we just weren't ready for that yet. So Kirby comes a call and is like, hey, I'll give you your on-the-field role. And sure enough, Scott Cochran going out to Athens to join Kirby. Ow, this hurts Alabama.
Big time.
Woo! I mean, I think we know here at Tennessee how important a strength and conditioning coach is. Because this past decade, you've gone through a revolving door of coaches in that position. You've seen the impact it has had on your team health. Feel really glad that you have one of the best in the country in Craig Fitzgerald.
Absolutely.
So think about not only losing one of your Alabama, you've lost the best in the country.
Yeah, Scott Cochran. Doubt. Yeah, he is number one.
He has made some monsters of that Alabama roster. And now, I mean, scale of 1 to 10, Tucker, how much does this hurt Alabama? Because I'm trying to see if this translates into losses now.
I mean, it really could. It could be, I mean, I don't know where I would put it. Probably like a 7. I mean, 6.6, you know. I mean, it's not going to completely destroy them because, I mean, they've got talent. But they're not going to be, I mean, you think of Bama since forever, since Saban. I mean, they've been giants. They've been huge. They've been athletes. They've been fast. They've been strong. Hopefully that changes. Hopefully they get some schmuck in there.
He was there for 12 years.
And never missed. Like, those guys were always, like, peak giants. That's what they were. They were giants. He made giants.
And just to show you how like important of a strength and conditioning coach is, who else had been that involved in the football program just from the strength and conditioning standpoint? He was like in hype videos. He was besides Saban, he was like the second like coaching face of Alabama. You even saw how like much of a name he was. Have you seen that Regions commercial he's in?
Yeah.
You got a strength and conditioning coach in a Regions Bank commercial.
I mean, that just shows you, like, he was key. Like, he's been a key to their success.
Now he's moving on the field to Georgia.
I'm glad he's not their strength and conditioning coach. I'm glad he didn't, like, just keep the same role. Because I don't feel like he can make, I mean, not downplaying the strength and conditioning coach or the special teams coach, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the strength and conditioning coach can make more of an impact because you affect the entire team.
Man, I'm just this is something I never thought would happen.
I thought they were going to retire together.
Yeah, it would have made sense, right?
I mean, yeah.
It would have absolutely made sense, and now Bama's got to scramble to find someone to replace that and to just keep up the consistency of that program, keep up just the absolute monstrous shape that their roster is in. Should we be worried about them trying to contact Fitz?
They better not.
Because I got to put my big orange cup on.
Like, oh, that would suck.
Like, Fitz is really good.
Fitz is really good. I hadn't even reached that part of my brain yet.
And if Alabama calls, it's hard to not listen, you know. Should I be concerned?
Pruitt.
Is our laughing at Alabama's misfortune, is it misplaced because they might be calling our guy?
This is one of those kind of things that would backfire on us, isn't it?
Don't want to think about it. I do not want to think about it. I wonder about Georgia now. Is he going to be a good on-the-field coach?
That's what I've been thinking.
Because you go from the weight room to, hey, I'm going to be having a hand in actually what we do when it comes to football strategy now.
See, I didn't. Does he have experience coaching? Because I always thought him as just like a, you know, a fitness.
Just a gym teacher.
Like a meathead, like just big dude who knows how to make other people giants. I didn't know he had. If he has coaching, I'm sure he's learned from being around a top program.
Well, I will tell you here when I look at his background here on Alabama's website.
Because whenever I saw he was going to Georgia, there was no thought. Before I got to the part that it was an on-the-field, you know, role, there was no thought in my brain that it was going to be as a coach.
He's pretty much always been a strength dude. Now, how about this? I didn't know he's an LSU alum.
Went to LSU.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't figure he went to Bama, but I didn't know it was LSU. Let's see here. So he's been in Alabama as a strength coach since like 07, 08. How about this? He was actually the Hornets strength coach in the NBA for 3 seasons. So he's like,
this guy's got a resume
all the way around here in a bunch of different sports. He was the assistant strength coach at LSU in 03 and 04. He was a GA at LSU from 01 to 03. It says GA. Was it that just means strength and conditioning GA, or did he get to do on-the-field stuff as a GA?
I would think probably just strength and conditioning, right? Like he stayed in his niche, like what he knows.
He was a strength coach at a high school in Baton Rouge from 98 to 01. The grad assistant thing was for all sports, it says.
Oh, okay.
Tucker, unless I'm missing something here, I don't think he's actually been on the field coach.
What an experiment by Kirby Smart. You think this is like 99% to just get him away from Bama?
That's what I was just thinking. Was this more to hurt Bama than to help yourself?
I would say yeah. And it's not a bad move. I mean, worst case scenario, what harm can he do as special teams coach? I mean, he's not going to completely ruin you if he is terrible.
It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hard thing to do, and I mean, that's a great way to get experience.
Yeah, exactly.
How about this here? I'm reading the AL.com story. He's been telling people for a while that he would one day like to be a head coach.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Earlier this offseason, he actually talked to another SEC school about an on-field job. Can you guess who it was? It wasn't Tennessee. SEC West.
SEC West? Arkansas?
No.
Choo-choo! Choo-choo. Am I dumb?
Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, Lane Train.
Oh, the Lane Train.
Talk to Ole Miss.
I could see Lane reaching out to that guy. He talked to Kiffin. Yeah.
Now, you know Kiffin was trying to do that just to piss Saban off.
100%.
I see that. Interesting.
If there's one thing I can admire about Kiffin, it's just how every time he tries to spite Saban at every turn.
You know, that was the best thing about him coming back to the SEC. I hate the fact that we're going to have to play him soon. He's probably going to steal some of our recruits.
Yep.
He's always going to be a thorn in our side and like everyone else's side doing that. But at the same time, he gets to play Saban every year.
And it will be great.
And just watching that as a fly on the wall is going to be fantastic. Like, even if Ole Miss is still losing to Alabama, you know he's still going to annoy the living crap out of them.
Yeah. You know he gets under Saban's skin so bad. Even, I mean, when he was offensive coordinator, he drove Nick Saban crazy.
I've never seen Saban hate one of his coaches like he hated Lane.
And Lane was great. Like, he was awesome as offensive coordinator.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm just saying, he's just that party boy, and Saban hates it.
Well, Kirby's going to get him instead of Lane Kiffin. This is Saban's statement today. We appreciate Scott's contribution to our organization over the last 13 years. We can't thank him enough for his service and dedication to our program and his commitment to our players. He's taken his career in a new direction, and we wish Scott, Sissy, and the kids the best. As we do with every position that opens here, we will go out and hire the best person to lead our strength and conditioning program and help our players maximize the resources available in our new sports science facility. Alabama fans are mad over this.
Oh, I'm sure.
I've seen them, like, they are mad that they took him away.
I mean, I would be extremely mad if they took if any school took Fitzgerald, and he's not been here nearly as long.
Oh, I'm reading the comments on AL.com from some Alabama fans. Some of these are trying to do the spin cycle. Listen to this one spin cycle. Just 6 minutes ago, this comment was posted. We've had some injury issues right before the season started the past couple of years. Maybe the replacement will manage the workouts a little better moving forward. I hate to see our best players with season-ending injuries right before the season starts.
Spin zone. He's bad.
All in that spin cycle. This one fan, to be honest, I think Scott was annoying as hell. He's a damn strength and conditioning coach, for heaven's sake. He'll regret the Athens move.
Is he getting paid more? I'm sure he
easily,
is.
Easily.
Then no, he won't.
I love comments. I love Facebook comments. This guy comments. He's trying to say won't be there longer. He spelled want. W-A-N-T. Want be there long because smarts won't be there much longer.
This guy knows something we don't. He's an insider.
This one Alabama fan misspelled Nick Saban's name. Stiv, S-A-B-A-N, it's S-A-B-I-N. Maybe Coach.
Oh, I was thinking maybe an E.
Maybe Coach Saban should play the same game and hire Scott Sinclair to replace Cochran. So hire Georgia's strength coach, I guess.
Just the reverse.
I tell you what, if I'm Alabama, you got to get that dude from Oregon, right? Have you seen Oregon's strength and conditioning coach?
Is he the crazy one?
Crazy, but he has like the early 1900s like mustache.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking
about. He looks like the villain in a silent movie.
And he's just a big dude with that mustache.
If I'm Alabama, I hire him.
Huh?
Just stay away from Fitz.
He's off limits.
Please stay away from Fitz. We had to fight Maryland off for him last year. That made me nervous because he's a Maryland dude.
Yeah.
That made me very nervous fighting off his alma mater. What if he gets a call, hey, Coach Fitz, Coach Saban. Like, oh no.
That would be
hard. Why don't you come up here? We have conversations while I have this unopened bottle of Coca-Cola right in front of me. Yeah,
there's no cameras around. Nobody's near. He's just still
always carries
out.
It was produced in like 2009.
Yeah, it's the
never
same
opened
bottle.
It. He just sets it right there. You know he takes it with him, right?
Everywhere.
When he leaves the press conference, like he grabs it and just takes it with him.
Yeah,
it's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. Stay away from Fitz, Alabama. Back to my main point, just stay away from him. But yeah, win-win so far, I guess, for us just watching this.
Yeah.
That hurts Alabama, and again, like you said, how much is Scott Cochran going to affect Georgia being good or not?
Exactly.
As a special teams coordinator.
I mean, he's not going to come in and completely change anything. Like, not a lot you can do with special teams. I mean, you can throw some wrinkles in there, but you're not going to... I don't think a special teams coach can add a win or take away a loss on like a higher. I don't think it changes your win-loss total.
You know Georgia's got to have a new kicker, right? Because Rodrigo isn't going to be there anymore. Old glasses or yeah. goggles. What if what if the new kicker just misses a bunch of field goals? Scott Cochran's bringing that Alabama energy with him of the missed field goals. I'm just saying. Watch out for that. Because then we'll know. Then we'll know he did impact it.
We'll know he's been helping with special teams the whole time.
Helping a whole lot here. Good move, Georgia. Great move. Fantastic. 865-546-8200. Hit the first break of hour two. Back with more overtime after this.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Sing along if you know the words. And I knew if I had my chance, I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember.
The songbird of our generation, Tyson Fury. Yeah, keep that playing, Tucker. I mean, of course, Tom. Was anyone living his best life like Tyson Fury was?
It was absolutely beautiful.
I mean, imagine being Deontay Wilder. Seventh round, everything ends because your corner throws in the towel. I mean, you had Tyson Fury makes you bleed. He tastes your blood.
Oh, that was insane.
I mean, he tastes your blood, gives you your first loss, and then he starts doing this version of American Pie. I mean, and I mean, not just like the chorus or anything like that. I mean, if he could have broke out all 12 stanzas of it, he could have.
They would have let him. Yeah, it was amazing.
Like, he's still going. Who, I mean, just living his best life, Tyson Fury. Get it.
I was singing in my living room. Like, I was singing along with him.
I mean, man. Yeah, Fury gets the win. Fury gets the win. And Fury versus Deontay Wilder 2 on Saturday night. All right, it's finally over. if he wasn't having such a good time, I would have been like, I don't want to hear that so bad.
But it was just such a good moment, man.
Such a fantastic moment. And, yeah, Fury gets the win. I mean, Wilder was the favorite. I expected Wilder to win.
I did too.
I was kind of rooting for Wilder. I mean, I will root for the American. I would usually always root for the American, but I have nothing against Tyson Fury.
I like his personality a lot. Nothing. I like both guys.
Yeah, and especially in this post-fight here, man, Fury won over a whole lot more fans. He won over so many more fans here. And now it's like, well, where we go from here, Deontay Wilder, he already said he's going to use his rematch clause. Wants to do something later this year, have a part three, so they can have a trilogy here. What I would want next, though, I need I'm not even a big boxing person, but I need to see Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. I need to see Tyson Fury beat the crap out of Anthony Joshua. I hate Anthony Joshua.
Do I know who Anthony Joshua is? I don't follow boxing very well.
Another British boxer. He's the one that got upset by Ruiz last year. Like the big underdog.
Yeah,
they,
okay, yeah. Okay.
Anthony Joshua's a coward. He's just a big-time coward. And again, that's as far as from what I follow about boxing here. But it was an exciting time for the sport. A sport that's, you know, definitely not as big as it once was decades ago. But it was a good night for it. Everyone talking about it, everyone having their initial reaction to what went down here. And now you have Deontay Wilder also pulling out the big spin zone.
Oh, my Lord. I saw what you're about to say.
His big spin zone. He says that his legs were weakened because of this heavy costume he wore on his way to the ring.
Yeah,
he's blaming that.
But I love how immediately after the fight, I mean, this is the next day, right? He said this, whatever. But in the ring, he made two excuses and then said, no excuses.
I don't think it works like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it works
like
that. Like,
the first words out of his mouth were something like, my legs weren't feel, like, something about my leg being messed up, and that's, you know, I was off balance because of that. But no excuses.
Wilder said that the 45-pound costume he wore on the way to his ring, on the way to the ring, weakened his legs and impacted his fighting ability. That is the biggest excuse I've ever seen.
Can't say that.
How is that a real reason? Just admit you got bested and use your rematch clause.
Yeah.
We're gonna see you two fight again. Don't throw that out there.
You just cheapened the whole fight. No, you didn't cheapen the fight. You just made yourself look weak. Or like a baby complaining.
Fury dominated that entire thing.
And I would have never thought it was going to be that one-sided.
Right? If you would have told me that Fury was going to win before this took place, I would have said, well, this is going to go all 12 rounds. This is going to be split decision.
Yeah.
Like, this was going to go to decision. I wouldn't have thought this thing was going to be ended right in the middle of the seventh. I did not think that was going to happen.
And it was a massacre.
Right move by Wilder's corner to throw the towel in, because Wilder wanted to go. Wilder didn't want him to throw a towel in. Of course, he's going to be a competitor, but he was going to get killed.
He was done that round anyway. The moment he posted up in that corner and just held his hands up, not even really blocking, and took that immediately straight to the face, he wasn't defending himself. He was getting obliterated and was either going to be permanently messed up because he was taking a beating, or he was just going to get knocked out. I mean, it would have been the same result either way. His corner saved him. His corner did the right thing, I think. I mean, he can say, you know, why did you do that? I mean, their job is to make sure you don't end up getting yourself destroyed in a losing effort.
Do you know who also did the right thing? Fury, with the decision to not wear some heavy costume to the ring and also be carried to the ring. He didn't have to do any physical work.
Such a power move. That was awesome.
Getting carried out to Patsy Cline. Tyson Fury, interesting dude.
An interesting dude. Nobody, like, if you wanted to, you can't make fun of him because he'll beat you to death.
Yeah, I would never want to make fun of a big 6'9" dude like that.
No.
What's also insane is the fact that, again, being someone who's not closely followed boxing, I didn't know that Tyson Fury used to be fat just a few years ago.
He was a big dude.
I mean, he's always been big, but like, I saw the 2017 picture, fat.
Like, extremely unhealthy.
And I was just out there putting on one of the greatest performances in heavyweight boxing. Taking care of Wilder like that. Man. I'm ready for part three here.
Do you think it was the shot to the ear? Do you, like, no excuses, but, like, do you think that's really... Because, I mean, you saw it. His ear was,
yes.
I mean, bleeding a lot. Do you think that, like, messed with his balance? Do you think it was just, like, a cut on his ear? Because I can imagine, like, you get popped in the ear and it, like, busts your eardrum.
I think that had to be one of the deciding ones.
Because he was not, like, he didn't look lucid for most of the fight.
Yeah, it was over early. You just knew what way that was going to go. Wilder's corner did such a huge favor because...
Major.
Would have messed up a whole lot.
I mean, the whole... After the third round, I guess, whenever he got dominated... it was pretty much him just trying to not lose by knockout. He was going to lose, but it was him just trying to stay on his feet until the last bell rung so that he could be told, you lost. That's all it was. The fight was over way before the set.
Man, what happens if he got knocked out?
Like, truly, on his back?
I'm imagining Fury just standing over a KO'd Wilder.
Okay, that would have been an iconic moment. I'm kind of bummed we didn't get that, but I'm glad Wilder didn't absolutely just get messed up for no reason so that we can have the third fight.
Good weekend for boxing, man. Good weekend for that sport. I think the next time I'm really going to be into it, maybe the next Triple G fight. But most certainly the next time Fury's out there, especially if it's going to be against Joshua. Because I'm really want to see that dude getting taken care of.
Has Ruiz, like, Has he defended the title? This was a while ago, so
yeah, he fought Joshua again, lost.
Oh, did he? Oh, see, I don't follow boxing. I'm a bad boxing fan.
It was pretty much proven that the first victory was pretty much a fluke.
Yeah. But it was fun while it lasted. Got a lot of good jokes on the internet.
I'll still never forget people pulling up his old Instagram post. And there was the one of him, like, 2013, taking a mirror selfie with the caption, and I quote, pick a me chillin' after I took a bleep. Ha, 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 ha. That was your boxing heavyweight champion.
There's your champ.
That was your boxing champion. So, a lot of characters out there in boxing. Tyson Fury's a good one. Deontay Wilder's still a good one. Looking forward to part three of those two, but... Man, hell of a weekend for Tyson Fury. Hell of a weekend. Got to do his butchered karaoke version, making Don McLean very proud doing American Pie. And we're going to hit another break here as we're just cruising along in hour two of this Monday edition of Overtime. Short break. Be back right after this. Fan Run Radio.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, we're back playing some birthdays here. Tucker, you've passed both of your previous tests when you've been playing the birthday game solo.
Barely, but, well, the last one wasn't barely. I think I did all right with that one.
You did much better last.
Apart from some, you know, questionable clues. Ghost Whisper. That one still stings. I could have got that one. But
I don't know what the hell that show is.
It was all right. It was mediocre at best, but I knew what it was.
Give it a rest, Tucker. February 24th. I'm just going off the website here that has these all listed here, so forgive me. I didn't have a list prepared before that, but that's fine. I will read some of these off as I go. I'm seeing a good amount of names.
Okay.
Seeing a good amount of names, so let's just go off... start going birthday by birthday as I see them here. Are you ready, Tucker?
I am prepared.
All righty. First up today, he would have been 65 today. Would have been 65. He passed away back in 2011. He was an American businessman, designer, investor, and media proprietor. He was most known, of course, for being the face of Apple Incorporated.
Oh, Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, RIP. RIP.
Happy birthday.
43 today. I don't know how many, like, hints I can give here because we were just talking boxing here. American boxing promoter, former professional boxer, even though he talks all the time about coming out of retirement for, like, one more fight. Undefeated, 50-0.
Oh, Floyd?
Floyd Money Mayweather.
Okay.
Yep, 43.
I forget that he is retired.
Yeah.
He'll come back.
He will do one fight. More.
He'll want that big check.
He'll do it against someone he knows he can beat.
Yep.
Because there's no way he's going to take an L.
No.
There's no way he will let himself even come close to taking one.
Never come out of retirement in any... Like, he wouldn't risk even a close match.
All right. Those have been two easy ones. You're two for two here. Let me give you one that might be a little tougher. It just depends here.
Okay.
26 today. He's an American rapper. He's from Los Angeles. He,
designer.
No.
Oh, okay.
He first started out as a member of Odd Future in 2009.
We're going to go, okay, Frank? Is it Frank Ocean?
Not Frank Ocean.
Is it Earl Sweatshirt?
It's Earl Sweatshirt.
I know Odd Future. I like
Odd
Future.
I was about to say, like, he was arguably the best rapper in the group.
Yeah, Earl's awesome. Yeah,
Earl's
big
great.
Earl
I have an Earl Sweatshirt bumper in the files.
Yeah, it's a great.
Huey's
song.
Great. You're three for three, Tucker. Alrighty, next one here. Ooh, 82 today. American businessman, very successful businessman, by the way. He is the founder. The co-founder and the current chairman of Nike.
The Coke founder?
The co-founder.
Co-founder,
excuse me, and current chairman.
He's super old.
chairman emeritus of Nike, so I guess he's not currently in the chairman role.
Is this a name I would know?
You've heard it before.
I've heard it
before. He's, you know, up there in Oregon, he's like the biggest donor to Oregon athletics.
Is he the Nike guy?
Yes.
I can't think of his name.
There's a tournament up there in Oregon every year now in basketball named after him, the PK80. If that helps.
The PK80?
That's a big hint right there.
It's the Phil. Pete. Peter.
I mean, I can't say yes or no. I need the full name. Come on, Tucker. 5 seconds.
I don't know. He made shoes out of his trunk. I know the story. I don't know his name.
It's Phil Knight.
I about said Phil Knight, but it didn't sound right in my brain.
It was Phil Knight. Oh, you played yourself. Congratulations.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot if that was somebody else.
All right, you're fine, though. You're 3 for 4. All right, today's been pretty good. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You might be mad at me for doing this, but you've definitely seen the movie this guy's been in.
Okay.
If you even get the pronunciation close, I'll give it to you.
Oh, great. Okay.
He is 31 today. He's a British actor. He is known most for... He's been a whole lot here recently. He is most known for playing his role. His lead role is...
The guy who plays Freddie Mercury?
No.
Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Okay.
Lead role as... that's Rami Malek, by the way, and he's not British. Good guess, though.
Okay.
Good guess, though. This guy, however, won a bunch of awards... He was even nominated for a whole lot here for his leading role as Chris Washington in Get Out. Like I said, if you can get it close, I'll give it to you.
Let's see his face.
Because it's a tough name.
It's not. Man, we stepped up the difficulty here.
I'll give you initials then. D-K. Like, if you get it close, I'll give you the point. It's DK. Those are his initials. Come on, I believe in you.
It's like Dari.
No.
I don't know. I can't.
Give up.
Yeah.
You know what? I won't count that. That was probably unfair.
It's a tough
it's,
one.
It's Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya. K-A-L-U-U-Y-A.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes. I thought you might have known just because
I'll put that. I'll take note of that one. Next year, I got it.
Yeah, don't forget that one. Well, that was all for today. And while we have time, I'll just go ahead and backtrack, try yesterday here. Just because that's what we like to usually do here on Mondays. Was anything good yesterday, February 23rd? I'm looking. Ooh! Okay. We'll do this one first. We'll see if you remember this one. 26 years old American actress got her start as a child actress. Got her rose to prominence at the age of 7. For her performance as Lucy Dawson in the film I Am Sam. Then as a child, she was also in films like Uptown Girls, The Cat in the Hat, Man on Fire, War of the Worlds, Dreamer, and Charlotte's Web. All as a kid.
Dakota Fanning.
It's Dakota Fanning!
Did not have a clue until Charlotte's
Boom.
Web.
Yep, Dakota Fanning. There you go. She was in... She's been in a lot more mature stuff, obviously, since she's an adult now.
Yeah.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Was she?
She was one of the Manson cult girls. Squeaky.
You're right.
That was her.
Whoa.
That was her. And then, like, when I realized that was her, I'm like, oh, crap.
Squeaky's a redhead, right?
Yes. I'm like, oh, that was Dakota Fanning. Oh.
She did good.
I'm old.
Wow.
39, I say today, 39 yesterday. This is yesterday. 39 yesterday, American actor, comedian, and singer, most known for voicing Olaf in Frozen and Frozen 2.
Oh, God. And has he done anything else?
He was LeFou in the live-action adaptation of Beauty and the Beast. He's appeared in ER, The Daily Show, Modern Family, New Girl, Bored to Death, Numbers. It's a name you've heard.
I'm trying to think of Olaf's voice.
I don't
think I'm going to get... Give me initials.
J.G., not G. Jarrett Garantano.
It's Jarrett Garantano. James?
Nope. Stopping you right there.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know that
Taking
one.
An L?
Taking the L.
How about Josh Gad?
I do not know who Josh Gad is.
Really?
Yeah.
Glasses, like.
Let me Google them.
Look at a picture of
them. What
this
guy looks like here.
Thought you would have gotten Josh Gad.
Josh Gad. I know who that is.
It's always until you see the picture.
I see that. I did not know his name, but I know his face.
Let's do a couple more for yesterday. He turned 24 yesterday, NBA player. He is point guard for the Timberwolves right now. He was the second overall pick in the 2015 NBA draft. He's played for the Lakers, the Nets, and the Warriors.
Quinn Cook?
No.
Oh, he's not over there. What am I talking about? Mm-mm. How old is he?
He's 24 today. He just joined the Timberwolves.
Where was he before?
The Warriors, as of this season.
Oh, God, I've not watched much this season.
He played his college basketball at Ohio State.
Point guard? Starter?
Yes.
Ooh.
Got busted for weed at an airport a couple years ago, or was it last year? If that rings a bell, come on. You know this one.
I'm sure I do. It's,
initials, D-R.
D-R? D-R?
We're on a sports show, Tucker.
I'm
God.
Dude, I'm blanking. I did not know this guy.
It's D'Angelo Russell. Tucker.
God.
All right, you've been having a rough one.
He's been with the Warriors.
You've been having a rough one, so I'm just gonna.
I forgot he went to the T-Wolves.
I'm gonna end it with this one. Ooh. I'm gonna end it with this one
a
here.
Hard one. Can I redeem myself?
This isn't. I don't think this is a hard one. This is a dude whose face you definitely know. All right, 37 today. American actor and comedian. He's known for his role as Tom Haverford in Parks and Rec.
He's how old?
37. Tom Haverford. I'm not pronouncing that right, but he's been Parks and Rec. He was the creator and star of the Netflix series Master of None.
Oh, it's,
come on.
Aziz Ansari.
It's Aziz. Woo! Redeemed yourself.
Didn't watch Parks and Rec, but as soon as you said Master of None.
But you know Aziz.
I did not watch Master of None, sadly. Sorry, Aziz. But I knew he made that.
But everyone knows Aziz.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Aziz.
He's got some good stand-up specials.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff.
All right, Tucker, I lost count, but I think you got more than half. So
I'll take the dub.
I'll give you a dub for today here. 865-546-8200. We're going to reset, wrap up this Monday edition of Overtime when we come back here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Our final segment of tonight's show is brought to you by KC Kitchen Center, 5902 Kingston Pike, in the middle of historic Bearden across from Food City. They're open 8 to 5 tomorrow through Friday and 9 to 2 on Saturday. I just stopped out there Saturday morning to speak with Kelly, do a live Periscope broadcast. A fun time as always. So get down there, see the showroom, say hi to Kelly and the crew. They will get you started on your countertop renovation journey, whether it is your kitchen, it's your bathroom, any other area that needs a countertop surface in or outside of your home, they are your go-to source. They will have the perfect surface solution for you. Granite quartz marble, recycled glass, and a whole lot more as well. It's all going to be at the Best Value in Knoxville. It's going to be the most efficient installation process as well. Just give them a call at 865-971-5800 if you would like to get a free in-home countertop estimate. And check out their website at kckitchencenter.com, browser slab inventory. Find out all of the frequently asked questions and the answers to those that you need about KC Kitchen Center. Find out about the Creative Classroom and the Event Center as well. Again, it's 5902 Kingston Pike, right there in the middle of historic Bearden. Pretty easy to get to from anywhere around West Knoxville. So support a local business, support Fan Run Radio, and do your countertop renovation journey with KC Kitchen Center. 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. So right now we've got college basketball score updates. Monday's pretty busy in the ACC with a lot of ranked teams right now. You got a nice little battle here. Number 11, Louisville at number, what is that, 6 or 8? I think that's number 6, Florida State. Louisville up on the road, Florida State by 10 right now, so that's interesting. You have top 20 West Virginia on the road at Texas. 9 o'clock ESPN tonight, number 1. Kansas will be in action. They had a big one on Saturday, Tucker. I don't know if you got to keep up with that one or see a little bit of that one. Kansas went on the road to Baylor. Knocked off number 1 Baylor. First loss that Baylor has received since early November.
I think I remember maybe on the Friday show you asked me about that, and I said that they would.
I think you called it.
I had no reasoning behind my pick. Just felt it.
Well, Azubuike went off. He had 23 points, 19 rebounds.
Whew. Had not seen that. That is dominant.
Putting his gigantic frame to use.
Good Lord.
In the best
19
way there.
Boards.
So Kansas gets the win. They jump all the way from number 3 to number 1. Gonzaga has to be completely distraught that they did not retain that number 1 spot. Play a real team, you cowards. I can't say I can't be too hard on. They did play on the road at ranked BYU, but it's just, I mean, come on. Beating number 1 on the road is a whole lot more impressive.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot more impressive in that conference. Let's see. Wait, did Gonzaga lose? Did I miss? Oh, they won. Never mind. I was looking at the top, and I thought I didn't see them at number 3. Oh, I'm like, did they lose to BYU, and I didn't know? Okay, they stay at number 3 here. Do you have someone on the phones, Tucker?
I do. I have Roger on the phone.
Let's go ahead and get Roger on here in this last segment on this Monday edition of the show. Roger, buddy, welcome into overtime, man. What you got for us?
Tanner. Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic here, buddy. Just had a pretty good show here. About to call it quits. Glad to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you too. I just wanted to ask y'all, Chris, about the game Saturday night. Noon. I want to ask you, Tanner. Everybody's been ripping responsible, but what happened in the game? I just want to ask you, Tanner. What's your take on what happened?
I'll say what I did to open up things earlier here is that the fact that he's not walked back what he said post game about if he did call a timeout, it wouldn't have made a difference because he felt like his guards weren't executing coming out of a timeout anyway, and he reiterated that a lot more as press conference today. And while I'm trying to understand his coaching logic behind it, because there's a reason he's been in this game for a long time here. There's a reason he has over 700 wins. I get all that, but at the same time, Roger, when I look back at that run that Auburn went on, I still find it hard to understand the logic of not using one timeout to at least try to get your bearings about you, to at least set your team down, have them take a breather, have them just relax a little bit, because they clearly weren't doing that. When you turn the ball over five straight possessions, and it leads to Auburn having a run like that, you have to try your best to calm your guys down. It doesn't matter if you doubt that they can execute whatever play you draw up in the timeout. If they can't execute it, you know, whatever. If I'm a coach, at least I'm going to try to, get some subs in if you need to, and just calm your starters that are out there down, because once Auburn started hitting a few shots, once you turned it over the first couple of times, then not only did you have Auburn's team become a whole lot more confident, you had that very loud arena back into it as well. So the walls were kind of closing in against Tennessee, and I'm never going to agree with him not using it. You can't take those timeouts with you until the next game. That's going to stay with me for a little bit there. Obviously, that's not the only thing that caused you to lose that one.
Yeah.
But by the time, Roger, that Auburn had completed that run and got right back in that game, I think it was pretty much over after that.
Yeah. I see both sides of Tanner. I think I see the timeout. Also, I see his point. I see both sides. And the reason why, because I see his side, because what he's saying about the players play, learn from, and also see that. Also, you need to also see the his other side too. Cause the, you need time out. So I see both sides Hopefully, Tanner, timeout. So see what happens with that. But I think that Tennessee needs to win tonight. It's important. It's kind of important from the NCAA game. That's what I'd be curious to how they win tonight. But Tanner, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting now. See what happens in now.
Oh yeah, man.
You have a
whole lot more tough games on your plate here to end up this season here. And man, I'm still confident that they could go into Arkansas on Wednesday night and get a win.
Yeah.
It's just been this type of team that they can follow up a disappointing performance with a good one. The only problem is they just can't get even. They can't even get back-to-back wins, man. So they have a whole lot of learning to do in a short amount of time.
Oh yeah, you're right. And also, I guess the question to you is, Tanner, how can Tennessee bounce that tough loss? How do you bounce back and how do you try to get ready for Arkansas? Because it'd be easy either. It's all be a tough game. But so how do you bounce back from the loss and try to play well? You know.
Hey, Rog, appreciate the call, buddy. I don't think you change your game plan. That's the one thing there, because again, it's going to be hard to turn the ball over as much as you did against Arkansas. It's going to be hard to go back-to-back games doing 24 turnovers. You're playing against a much better team that you match up against, a little bit better in Arkansas, even though they will be having Isaiah Joe come back from injury. So they're going to have an extra weapon out there with Mason Jones. So you have hot guards to contend with there in Arkansas, but Arkansas has shown so many things that they've exposed themselves so badly over conference play, and especially in the way that you beat them at home. You just do the same things. You make sure John Fulkerson doesn't get into foul trouble, though. Cut down on the ball handling mistakes, and I think you can walk out Fayetteville with the victory on Wednesday. So that's going to do it here. That's going to do it here for this Monday edition of Overtime. Shout out to Tucker Holt on the board. I'm Tanner Carson. We'll be back at 6 o'clock for another edition of Overtime. Everyone, be good.